Thank you for joining us for another great message. This week at The Door, Andrew Chalmers breaks down the vision of The Door and who we are as a ministry.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brian. It's good to see you guys tonight. Whew. Let me get a sip of water. That worship was awesome, but I kind of lost my voice in the process. I was singing towards the end. I was like, I need to stop singing so loud. Like, I'm not going to be able to speak tonight. Wow. Well, guys, I'm so happy that you guys are here. It's an amazing night to be at The Door, and I'm excited for what we're going to be talking about tonight. And I'm excited for each and every person that was able to make it, and also, you know, that people be able to listen to this. You can also share what you're hearing tonight with other people that you think might be interested in what I'm going to be sharing about. They can go to takethecity.com/the door, or just go to our website, find The Door, and on there, all of our teaching is on that page. So you guys can share this if you think, you know, even tonight, you're like, man, I think someone else should be involved with what the Lord's doing here. You know, you can have them listen to this message, because really what I'm going to be sharing about tonight is the heart of what we're doing here at The Door, in the heart of our ministry, Take the City. So this is just a fun thing for me to be able to share about with you guys. And I hope that it is inspiring and encouraging what the Lord is doing and what you guys are a part of. Before we get into talking about the message, I do want to pray for the church in Egypt today. There was about a dozen Christians sitting in a building much like this, and someone came in and blew themselves up and killed a bunch of people and hurt a lot of others, and it happens all the time in the 1040 window where people are being killed, and it's even starting to happen in the Western world where churches are being targeted and people are being killed, and I want to pray for the persecuted church. So let's just take a minute and pray for them. Pray specifically for those right now that are being affected by the things that happened today. God, I thank you for your church, for your body, Lord, that even though we're in different cities and nations, God, we're in different places. Lord, you call us to be one and to be unified as your body. And so, Lord, I'm just asking, God, that you would unite our hearts to the persecuted church even today. We live so comfortably. We live so freely. God, I pray for those that are persecuted for the name of Jesus right now all over across the earth, those that are imprisoned, those that are being killed and martyred. God, and I especially pray for the church in Egypt today. God, especially the church that was bombed. I'm asking, God, for those families. Lord, we come together right now in Georgia praying for them, asking, God, that you would strengthen them with might. In the inner man, I pray that the same boldness that filled the early apostles to proclaim the gospel, even in the midst of great persecution, I pray that their hearts would be filled with love, even for their Muslim brothers that are there in Egypt. God, I pray that there would be no seeds of bitterness and hatred and dissension, but God, that you would supernaturally empower them to model the heart and the love of Jesus in spite of great persecution and death and just all the things that they're facing, God. We just pray a blessing over them. Father, I also pray for the message tonight, that you would speak through my weak words. God, everything that I'm going to be sharing tonight, I believe, is from your heart, and it's what you've been showing me, God. And so I just pray that, God, you would just anoint it and speak to every person that's here, and not only people that are here, but God, I'm asking even people that are not here that are going to be listening through online sources. God, I pray that you would just speak to their hearts, inspire them, God, and Lord, just show them, God, how they should respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about vision, and we're going to be really looking at where God is taking us as a ministry. And The Door, we are a community of people, passionate Jesus followers from various churches, denominations, and backgrounds. They come together weekly to encounter God's presence, study God's word, and grow God's kingdom community. And so tonight, what I really wanted to do is I wanted to create a context for you guys and an understanding for all of you guys really where we're headed as an organization, not only as The Door, but as a larger organization, as Take the City, sort of where God has burdened us to begin to move forward and where he's taking us and really what you're a part of, not only in the micro scale, in other words, like not only here at The Door on Sunday nights, but even at the larger scale. I want everyone to really understand what God is doing right now, what we're seeing God do, how exciting that is, and how The Door is an integral part. It's a very, very, very important part of what God is doing through our ministry and how we're excited about what God's going to do. And really what I wanted to do is I want to create clarity for people tonight. For those of you, it might be your first time ever coming to this service on Sunday night. Some of you guys, you've been coming here for a while. But what I want to do is just create even more clarity about what we're doing and where we're headed. And I believe that this is going to really inspire passion and motivate you guys to hopefully get more involved at higher levels in what God's doing through our ministry. And I know that for me, it's just really exciting to talk about some of the things that God is doing and really what even we picture God doing through The Door. The thing that I just read, I want to go through the slides. I've actually created some slides and the just visual aids for that way so you guys can see what we're talking about. But I want to go to the first slide and just look at really what The Door is. And so this is not our vision, but this is like if you were to ask, like, what, you know, what is The Door? Like, what is it that I'm coming to? This is really the summary of what our heart is for The Door within the context of Take the City and within our city. This is what we believe our purpose serves and why we're getting together on Sunday nights. The Door is a community of passionate Jesus followers from various churches, denominations, and backgrounds that come together weekly to encounter God's presence. How many of you guys know when you come to The Door, there are people that are in the room that worship differently than you do, right? That's okay. You don't need to worship like them. You need to worship like you. Before your God, your Father, your responsibility is to worship him the way he's created you to worship him. You don't need to become like other people in the room. There are people that come to The Door that are from a lot of different places, from a lot of different backgrounds. And actually, that's something here at The Door that we celebrate and we enjoy and we love the fact that there is so much diversity in the body of Christ, whether it's age, so younger and older, the way that people worship, the way that people respond to the Lord, whether they're young or they're old. And also we love celebrating race and culture, denominations. All those things are just really exciting. And so here at The Door, we are a community. We're a network of people from these different places that are coming together weekly. And so we just really believe that in the power of us coming together weekly. And the reason that we're coming together is we want to encounter God's presence. We want to experience who he is. We want to come in and begin to worship him and spend time with him and allow us to be transformed, revitalized, and touched by his presence. How many of you guys know tonight, just even as we worshiped him, that how many for you, just lift your hand, if that was just a refreshing or God just did something special and you raise your hands. Come on. You know, I believe that this is the first thing on the list because it's just so vital and so important. We come together because we want to encounter Jesus. Like Brian said, it's all about Jesus. It's about us coming together, setting aside our differences, like setting aside our cultural differences, setting aside our denominational differences and those disagreements, and really coming together on a weekly basis to encounter the presence of God together from different places. Now, the reason that I really want to focus in on what we're doing is because what we're doing is very different. What we're doing is not something that most people understand or have ever seen before as far as creating a community gathering for a city that is open to everyone from different churches that happens on a weekly basis. And this is something does happen in other places, but it looks different everywhere you go. And here, The Door is the expression that we're a part of through Take the City. And we believe that encountering God's presence is going to begin to transform our lives. We also want to study God's word. And we believe that, you know, as we begin to discover the truth or the person of Jesus through his word, that we will begin to experience freedom and breakthrough. And that through his word, that not only are we going to experience freedom and breakthrough, but that it's going to begin to transform everywhere we go, the places we work, and wherever God leads us. And then the last thing, and grow God's kingdom community. It's all about God's kingdom community here. So one of the heartbeats of the door is this: God's kingdom community. What does that mean? It's a community with an open hand. What does that mean? A community with an open hand looks like we want to support and encourage and grow God's kingdom community, not grow our own empire here at the door. We're not trying to get as many people as we can to come to the door. We don't advertise the door or try to do anything special to get a bunch of people to come here. But what we really want to do is, with an open hand, we want to have a place where people can come and they can go and they can experience God's presence. They can study his word. And we're going to look at a bunch of other things as well that we're doing. But also, we want to grow God's kingdom community with an open hand. In other words, we want people to feel free to come. But then if the Lord, you know, puts them somewhere else, we want to be freely able to bless them and say, you know what, we're so thankful that there was a season that you were here with us, but God's placing you somewhere else. Why? Because that's going to grow God's kingdom community. It may not grow our community, but how many of you guys know it's much bigger than us and what we're doing here? But it's really God's heart when he looks at a city. It's citywide. In the book of Revelation, when Jesus speaks to the churches, he's speaking to the city. He's not speaking to one body of believers. And so I believe that God's kingdom community looks like the whole city, the kingdom being advanced through his people. I want to look at some different slides, but before we look at the next slides, I just want to give you guys kind of a context for The Door. The Door was originally started by Grant Collins as a young adult ministry, and it was a part of the Church Evangel Temple. The ministry was not just focused on those going to the church, but it was actually focused on ministering to young people from the whole community. The first meeting place of The Door was actually where Iron Bank is today. Over the years, it has now met in various locations in downtown Columbus. In fact, I think The Door has an anointing for starting incredible coffee shop businesses, because another place that we met is now the French Bakery downtown. I can't remember how to say it, but the French Bakery downtown is actually where we met on 12th Street for a season. And so I guess we have an anointing for that. Who knows what this building will become after we leave? Probably a French bakery or a coffee shop. Really trendy and cool. So in 2015, The Door shifted when it was transitioned from being a ministry of the Church Evangel Temple to the ministry of Take the City. The transition was a consideration that required much prayer between the board of directors of both Evangel Temple and Take the City. And since October 2015, The Door has been the discipleship ministry arm of the Take the City organization. So The Door has actually existed for, I don't know, 9 or 10 years. And when Grant started it, it was a part of a church. The board and the church actually approached us, Take the City, and said, hey, you know, what do you guys think about beginning to run with this ministry, The Door? What would you guys be open to it? And we began to have conversations and began to talk about basically what it would look like for The Door to exist. One of the challenges that we had from the very beginning was this. We're a missional organization where one of the first things in our mission statement is to unify and mobilize the body of Christ to see our city revitalized. So if we're out seeking to really see the churches in our region united, we don't want to plant a church. Why? Because that immediately puts people's arms up and sparks division. Why? Because people are intimidated by that. They're scared of that. They don't like that. And so one of the last things we wanted to do was start a church. So when we began working with the board of Evangel Temple, a church, and they were handing the ministry to us, all the assets, everything about the ministry, they were giving it to us. And Grant Collins was working with me as far as a transitional period. Through that, one of the things that we really wrestled with was taking this from a ministry of a local church into a ministry of a nonprofit missions organization. And so that shift was really a drastic change, where it went from, okay, this is a part of a church, from, you know, really for the whole community. A lot of people came from a lot of different churches, so that DNA was already in The Door, but there was a change that had to be made. And so over the last year or two, that's really where we've been heading, is, okay, we want to cultivate a place of community that's really open-handed and that really is open to people from different churches and different denominations. And so that's something that we want to go after. And we do want people from various churches and denominations to be able to come here, but we don't also want to do that at the sacrifice of the calling and the vision and the mandate that God has given to us to see the city transformed, to see revival and awakening in our community. So we can't sacrifice the calling that God's given us or water anything down. We want to be passionate about the things that God has made us passionate about, but we also do want to cultivate a place where people can come together. Today, the door is serving as a discipleship arm of our ministry, where our volunteers and leaders can come together each week to be built up, encouraged, and strengthened. It also serves as a landing pad for people we reach through various Take the City outreach initiatives like monthly events, Project Lifehouse, Redeem, and others. Will you pull up the second slide? So I wanted to give you guys really just a picture of what our ministry looks like today. So this is right now. In the last year and a half, this map has radically changed, and it continues to constantly be changing because the ministry is evolving, expanding, and growing as God continues to bless us and give us greater vision and greater insight into what it is that he's calling us to do. But right now, this is kind of the structure, and this is what our ministry looks like. So you guys are a part of the door, but I want you guys to understand the big picture of what it all looks like because it creates clarity. So at the bottom, you can see Take the City. Take the City is a nonprofit 501c3. We're a missions organization. Our mission is to see the body of Christ unified and mobilized to see entire cities transformed and revitalized. That's our mission. Our vision is through the areas of proclamation and bringing justice and sharing the gospel that we would see entire cities transformed. That's our vision. We want to see cities changed, one city at a time. We operate under a board of directors. We don't have a board of elders. We don't have like pastoral leadership. We do have a lot of pastors that are a part of our ministry. Last year, we had people from over 75 different churches involved with this ministry as a whole. I am constantly talking to probably over 25 or 30 lead pastors in the city on a monthly basis. I have like some of my best friends in the city are pastors and leaders of some of the biggest churches in town. But we are led as an organization by a board of directors. And so I'm the chairman of the board, and then we have a board that sits with me, and they help us make major decisions on behalf of the large organization. And then if you look at the organization, we have basically these six different components. We kind of have more things, but these are kind of the six major things that we're focusing on and that we're looking at right now. One, imminent worship is a ministry that pre-existed Take the City, but Imminent Worship, Ian Allen was a part of starting that ministry. Imminent Worship is a Tuesday night, second Tuesday night of the month gathering. It's actually happening this Tuesday night at Solid Rock. You can go there. But every month, they've been doing this for years, and their heart is to see the body of Christ come together and worship together. And so we're so in sync that Ian is not only a part of our organization, he actually serves on our board because I want him to be a major person that's able to speak in to our ministry and where we're headed. So Imminent Worship is one component, and that's actually led by Ian Allen. Project Lifehouse is an initiative that we actually launched quicker than we anticipated. When I wrote out a vision that by 2020 we would be doing certain things, I literally thought it'd be like 2019 or 2020 when we started doing all these things. I didn't know that within 12 months, God would just start doing all this stuff. I had a vision and an idea that we would begin to receive donated homes, fix them up in these communities that we're working in, and that through fixing them up, we could launch missional families to move in and disciple whole communities and begin to bring transformation. It was just an idea on a piece of paper in my computer. And next thing you know, the Lord brings this person into my life and he donates a house. The first time I met him, he told me he was going to give me a house. And I was just like, okay. And so we've moved forward with Project Lifehouse. And right now I'm currently overseeing Project Lifehouse. And we're almost done with our first community house. The door is our discipleship arm. So what that means is it's a place of discipleship, growth, and leadership training. So everything else that we do as a ministry is really focused on get out of here, go do something, go. Well, to have an organization that's completely outwardly focused without any discipleship training, mentoring, or pouring into people, what happens is it's kind of like a car without an engine. Discipleship acts like an engine for an organization that allows it to really propel and go forward for the long haul. And so the door is actually our discipleship arm, where we see this is an opportunity for us to pour into people, to love on people, and to encourage people that are involved with the greater vision of Take the City. Outreach events. The outreach events are various things that we do. Revival in the River's coming up at the end of the month. That's our biggest event of the year. And we also do Take the City monthly events every month. We do other outreaches that don't have anything to do with that, but constantly we're doing missional efforts as a ministry. And Jason is really spearheading that along with a big team. Let's give Jason a hand, doing a great job. We also do equipping and training. So we travel to different cities, and we also do them here. And so on a monthly basis, we take teams that go into other cities, and we do equipping and training for the body of Christ from different churches. They can come together, and they can be equipped and trained for missional purpose to reach their city and to transform their city with the gospel. That's one thing that we work on. And then we also have Redeem, which was just launched this year, and that's a sex trafficking-focused outreach arm of our ministry. And so that focus is basically on Friday nights. We're sending out teams that are going out and ministering to prostitutes and drug addicts, pimps, and people that are involved with the sex industry and really wanting to see sex trafficking eradicated. I want to go back to the door. The door, really, it's in the middle because, like I said, discipleship has to be an engine. And so even within our staff over the last 6 months, we've felt a burden to shift even the way that our staff is functioning. That not only is our staff relationships more discipleship-based relationships, but also that all of our staff are making disciples. That it's not just something that we encourage and that we want to see, but that literally every one of our staff members and main volunteers, that we're actually beginning to make disciples. And so that's actually been a sort of a shift for our organization, that it's unhealthy for us to always be on mission, but to not be being discipled, poured into, and nurtured. And so that's where the door plays a critical role. But with all of these things going on, thank God he sent Brian and Kirsty Chavry from New Mexico. They moved here. And Brian has an incredible heart and a passion for leadership, raising up leaders, pouring into leaders, and discipleship. And that's truly a strength that he has. And so that's why Brian moved here. And he didn't know exactly what he was getting into, but I kind of knew what he was going to get into. And I knew that the door would be an incredible avenue. And so right now, Brian is serving, leading the door for us and really spearheading that, you know, under my leadership, just like all the other areas are serving under my direct leadership. But Brian is really actually helping to lead and direct our core leadership team to help steer and guide even where we're headed this year, and just saying like, okay, what are we doing? How can we make things better? Honestly, guys, Brian is the brains behind it. He's the one who's dreaming up those things. And I'm excited for that because God has really gifted Brian with a heart and a passion for raising up leaders, which I believe is really at part of the core of what we're doing here at the door. Let's go to the next slide. And so this is just a picture. I want you guys to understand sort of how the door works and the way that our ministry is functioning. And so you can see just a diagram. You see the door. You see our missional efforts and our local church. And so basically the way that we see it is that the door supports our missional efforts. Our missional efforts support the door. And at the same time, both of them are constantly supporting, encouraging the local churches of our city. That through like local churches, people from the local church might come up and be involved with the door. And then also people from our missional efforts may come to the door and then go into the local church, which has happened even traditionally with the door. People who didn't know Jesus will start coming to the door, and now today they don't even come to the door, but they're plugged into a local church. They're committed, like they're church members, and it was a door for them to really enter into a discipleship, and then eventually they got plugged into a local body of believers. And that's sort of our heart, and that's really the reason that we as a ministry took the door, is because when we realize it's an incredible opportunity for us to be winning people to Jesus, immediately bring them into a safe environment where they can begin to be discipled, and then they're going to meet lovely people like you, and you're going to say, hey, come to my church next Sunday morning. And then guess what they'll do? They'll come to your church, and they may hate it. So they might meet some other lovely person. And then, through relationship, through natural relationship, people from our communities are going to begin to get involved with local church. Even this morning that happened, where our Project Lifehouse and missional efforts, we've been reaching in a neighborhood for over 6 months. Basically, a bunch of the kids have been coming to the door. Some of them have been coming to church with me when I speak in different churches on Sundays. But none of the adults have bought in until today was the first day. And the granddad went, and it was the first time he's gone to church in I don't know how long. But, you know, he went to a local church with one of our volunteers, and our volunteer was with the first guy to finally convince him to go. I mean, I've been asking this guy, like, let's go to church, come on. He's like, I'm going to go. But, I mean, it's been years since this guy's gone to church, and really, God's working on him. God's doing an incredible thing, and that's how this all works together. We're constantly pursuing missional efforts, but we also constantly need to have a focus on the door and us nurturing and growing together. And then you can also see the local church is feeding our missional efforts, and the missional efforts should also feed the local church, just like what the story that I just mentioned. As the local church comes and gets involved with Redeem, Project Lifehouse, our Take the City monthly events, Revival on the River, our hope is ultimately that while they're involved, that their churches are going to grow. That should be the heart of a true, like, missions organization. We're not trying to build a church. So the door, we're not trying to build a church. Our heart is actually to build God's kingdom community. And so for a season, it might look like the door, but ultimately, we're not concerned about the door growing. We really want God's kingdom community to grow. Amen? Let's go to the next slide. The door serves as a discipleship arm for our ministry, where our volunteers and leaders can come together each week to be built up, encouraged, and strengthened. It also serves as a landing pad for people we reach through various Take the City outreach initiatives like monthly events, Project Lifehouse, Redeem, and others. So that's what I was just saying. But I just want to give you guys just a clear picture that our heart is that the door and our missional efforts would be completely ingrained. So if you're here on Sunday night, our heart and our passion is that you don't just get involved with the door, but that you're involved with all of the missional efforts of what we're doing as a ministry as a whole. In fact, for you to only be involved with the door and to have no idea what's happening with missional efforts sort of defeats the purpose of what we're doing. And also for people to be really involved with our missional efforts, but never be being poured into and nurtured as lead volunteers and staff members is also like driving people into the ground and slowly killing them. So what we want to do is create a place where people can be nurtured and grown, but also they can be re-encouraged to come back and be involved with the mission of what God's doing here. Also, let's go to the next slide. So this is sort of like our model and like the path of how we want to grow and where we're headed as a missions organization. I'm just going to read this off to you. We envision sending leaders to cities around the United States and even internationally to launch Take the City ministries and small apostolic teams. The door plays a critical role in how we plan to raise up future team leaders and members that will actually go into new cities to launch citywide movements. As people are recruited and move to Columbus from other cities for training, the door will act as a main hub for their training, their discipleship, and community before they would be launched out. Also, as leaders return from various cities and assignments, they can re-plug into the door for continued growth, refreshment, and encouragement. So as you can see right here, we have Take the City staff, our local volunteers, our interns, and basically just everybody else. Like, local volunteers would just be like you guys. If you're just involved with our ministry at any level, or even you just come and sit here, you're like a local person who's involved. And the last thing that I put on there are recruits from other cities. One of the things that we feel called to do is actually we are passionate about going into other cities, going to Bible colleges, schools of ministry around the country, and inviting people to actually move to Columbus. We're doing it. I'll be in Redding, California at the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry in 2 weeks. I'll be out there for an entire week for leadership training, and I'm actually going out there and meeting with ministry school students, because just like Marielle, who moved here, and she's incredible, we want like 100 Marielles to move here from Reading and from other cities around the world. We want people to begin to move here, and so we're actually putting our money where our mouth is. We're actually beginning to go to these places, and we're sharing the vision of Take the City, that hey, we're doing something in Columbus that we believe is going to spread all over the world. And we want you to join a movement that's starting in Georgia, but that we believe is going to touch the nations. And we want you to move here for a season. We want you to get nurtured and grown and discipled in a community group called The Door. where you'll meet people from various churches. We want you to get plugged into a local church as well. And then we also want you to be involved with our missional efforts where we're going to mentor you, we're going to raise you up, and then eventually, one of two things. Either you'll stay here, you'll be involved with the local church, which will be strengthened, and the city's going to be transformed. You'll be working here locally, you'll be doing mission here, you'll be living in a Project Lifehouse home here locally, you'll be just doing Take the City outreaches, you'll just be living daily life, preaching the gospel, seeing people get touched and saved. Or two, you'll be a part of a Take the City launch team sent to various cities. Over the last 2 months, in different places that I've been traveling and going to, and it feels like constantly, people are telling me and giving me prophetic words that what we're doing is going to spread like wildfire, that it's going to go to the nations, that cities all over the world are going to begin to be doing what we're doing. And I don't take that lightly when I begin to hear the same prophetic word over and over and over again. And I'm telling you guys, everywhere I go, different people are saying the same thing. I feel like the Lord's going to raise up a movement. You guys are going to begin to touch cities all around the world, and that cities are going to be transformed through what you guys are doing. And with that word comes a lot of testing, and also comes a huge need for us to begin to make practical steps to begin to see that prophetic, that word come to pass. Because how many of you guys know God can speak a word, right? But just because you have the word doesn't mean it's just going to be like a magical wand, it's going to come to pass. You also need to take that word and you begin to make instrumental steps to begin to move forward that way. The door is a key instrumental place where we plan to raise up leaders to actually be part of these teams that are going to move to other cities. I believe even right now, if we had a team ready, I believe there's a city where God's already opening up doors somewhere else in the United States where right now I could send a team if we had already prepared a team, but we haven't. So it's not a big deal, but I believe that God's going to begin to open up doors in cities around America and even internationally. I feel like God's given us a burden one day to take the city in Amsterdam and Holland. That I just, since I started Take the City, the Lord spoke to me, you're going to go to Amsterdam, you're going to start a ministry there. I also have vision even for the Middle East about uniting churches and focusing on reaching the lost in even the Middle East. And I just believe that God's going to begin to do that. And the door serves as an equipping place for people to begin to go and to be a part of these teams. Already in the last year and a half, we've already begun to see God just start doing this. We've already got Take the City. We're doing Take the City in other communities. We're doing it in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and in Charlotte, North Carolina right now. We have other cities around the United States that even right now we're working with, we're training, and we're talking to other people that want to begin to do this thing. And that's great what we're doing. We're going and we're visiting cities. We're casting vision. We're raising up a local team and mobilizing them. But even bigger than that, we have a dream of actually taking the DNA that we have here and putting transplants. That there would be transplants, like people from this community who have been a part of Take the City, even from the very beginning, that they would start moving to other cities and begin launching ministries in those other cities. So that's just a dream, and that's a big part of our vision and where we feel like God has taken us. Amen? Does that make sense? Does that seem awesome? So that's not what we're all about. I mean, that's not the only thing that we're about at the door, obviously. But I just want you guys to understand where we're headed, that we have a dream, and it's not happening right now, but we do have a dream that one day this room will be filled with people, and it won't just be people from local churches, but you have people from all over the world that will be moving here, that will be positioned and trained. They'll be going through internships. They'll be going through training classes. They'll be coming to the door on a weekly basis, and that I picture us one day coming around, Brian, our team, coming around, and literally 5 to 10 people, us standing around and praying for them, laying money at their feet, and sending them to a city where they're gonna sell everything they have here and move to another city to launch a ministry and see a city transformed. That's gonna happen. I believe that on a yearly basis we're gonna be seeing groups of people leave. And so that's another thing. We want to be open-handed as a ministry because we want to see God's kingdom community grow. We never want to try to harbor, you know, the incredible people that God's entrusted to us. We always want to be open-handed and say, you know what? We want to send our best to these other cities. Amen. So I want to look at three reasons why we exist as the door. One, we exist to see God's children come together in perfect love and harmony in our city in such a dramatic way that people who know Jesus, people know who Jesus is by our love for one another. Amen? I'm going to read a couple scriptures. So our ministry, Take the City, we want to see the body of Christ united. We want to see people come together and love each other really well. And so as the door, we exist because we want to see God's kids come together. Love each other really well. Love each other in such a powerful way that the world, when they see us, that they're baffled and they know that Jesus is King. And that's why, guys, that's why even the last like couple months we talked about relationships. Because the one thing that God wants to do in a movement that has to do with unity is bring division, bring dissension, bring bitterness, strife. That's what, doesn't that make sense? A movement that's about unity and reaching people with the gospel that Satan would want to divide. And so as the door, we exist because we want to see God's children come together in perfect love and harmony in our city in such a dramatic way that people know Jesus is King by our love for one another. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this, I will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another." How many of you guys know what it means to be a disciple? Raise your hand. A disciple has a teacher. A disciple would come up, they would submit themselves to the leadership of another person, a rabbi. And to become a disciple, you would just begin following that person and they would invite you into this sort of deep covenant relationship and they would teach them. And ultimately, the rabbi, which Jesus is called rabbi, they called him rabbi, and he was teacher and they were his disciples, right? But the whole reason for this training phase, just like guys at Fort Benning, you guys can probably relate to this, but the whole reason for the training is so that you would become more and more like what they were training you for, or ultimately Jesus was training you to become like him. So what's amazing is this, is in John 13, 34 and 35, he says, "A new command I give to you." And then he says, if you're going to be my disciples, you're going to love each other really well. What he's saying is this, I'm the teacher. And if you're going to be my disciples, one, you're going to do what I say, and two, you're going to be like I am. In order for you to be like I am, you're going to have to love people like I do. If you don't love people like I do, you're not my disciple. Because in order for you to be my disciple, you have to do what I do, say what I say, and be like I am. Does that make sense? That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. That's how we know we are his disciples, is that we actually catch the very essence of who Jesus is. How do you know you're a disciple of Jesus? You act like Jesus. You walk like Jesus. You talk like Jesus. And what at the very core of Jesus' life, what did he demonstrate? Love. So how do we prove to people that we are the followers of the teacher Jesus or the Messiah Jesus, this rabbi? How do we demonstrate that we are his disciples? By the radical way that we love each other. Why? Because as we're loving each other, we're proving to be his disciples because we're doing what our teacher did and what our teacher has taught us to do. So as a ministry, we want to see God's people come together in a dramatic way. This is a supernatural act. Seeing God's children come together in perfect love and harmony in our city, that's a supernatural thing. That is a miracle. That is impossible. Like, I cannot do that. You cannot do that. All of us combined together, even if we like all quit our full-time jobs, so we said full-time, we're going to make people do it. Like, it wouldn't happen unless God did it. And I believe that God's heart is that ultimately we would come together and love each other in a supernatural way. In fact, John 17, I'm not going to read it, but Jesus prayed around, you know, this time we celebrate Easter, but around this time before he went to the cross, he prayed the John 17 prayers, and one of the last things he prayed was for us, the ones who would follow because of what we've heard. And he said, "Make them one as I and the Father are one. Let them be united." That was the one thing he prayed for us, that we would be one, that we would be united, that we would love each other, that we would follow that new commandment. And in Acts 2, 40 through 47, I want to read that scripture if you can pull that up. Acts 2, 40 through 47, "And with many other words, they testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received this word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. They had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate together with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And you guys know when he's talking about the church, he's not talking about like this big mega church that was in Jerusalem. It was a citywide movement. It was a lot of church. A bunch of people started meeting in homes all over the city instantaneously. 3,000 people were added. They weren't meeting, like they didn't rent, you know, the civic center. Like they didn't have that in Jerusalem. What did they do? It was all of these churches, but he said, the church. What does that mean? When God's perspective biblically of church growth is never a single church. He does want single churches to grow, but his perspective biblically is always focused on regions, like that whole area growing and changing and coming together and loving each other. And I believe that the Lord wants to use us to see this happen. The second thing is we exist to cultivate a place of revival and awakening for the local church and the body of Christ in our city and our region. So the door exists as a place where we can constantly cultivate a place of revival and awakening for the local churches. Earlier today and last week, Ellen and I were working on growing some plants. We're going to actually do a community garden in one of the neighborhoods that where we're doing Project Lifehouse. We've been given some land by the city to do a community garden. So we've been getting all these plants donated, but we don't have the boxes built. So we've been planting them like all over our yard in these like little things and buying soil. So we're doing that today. And it's just so fun cultivating these poor little plants that nobody wanted. Like that's what they're donated because nobody wanted them. And so they dump them on the side of the building and we just go pick them up like every week. And so I've been picking up these unwanted plants. And through that, though, we've had an opportunity to resurrect these, you know, these half-dead tomatoes and half-dead broccolis or whatever, you know. And so we're resurrecting them. But what are we doing? We're cultivating. We're working to see it grow. Well, one of the things that we want to cultivate here on a weekly basis is we want to cultivate revival and awakening here in our region. And this is something that we're passionate about, and this is something that we refuse to water down. And I think that's something that I want everyone in here to understand, that like where we're headed is this. We exist because we want to see revival and awakening in our city and our nation. That's what we're crying out for. We're not here to play church. We don't come to the door on Sunday nights because we want to have a nice service and feel a little better about ourselves. We want to come together. We want to love each other well, but we also want to cultivate. We want to work and till the ground and press into God and cry out to him in prayer and through intercessory worship that God would pour out his spirit, not only in our city, but across the nation. We're just one of thousands of hubs across the nation where people are beginning to cry out for a great awakening and for revival in our nation. And I believe that God is going to begin to answer, and he is answering the prayers. And we want to be a place that's cultivating that here. So we want to be open for the movement of God's spirit. We want to be open for God to do everything that he wants to do. We want to be open to do things that are not traditional, okay? Is that okay with you guys? Sometimes it may make you feel uncomfortable, but we want that because we ultimately want to fear God, not man, as a ministry. We want to be open-handed, trying to build God's kingdom community. But if you guys want to be a part of this, one thing I want to encourage you guys is that we want to press in. We want to see revival. We want to see awakening. In Acts 19, 1 through 20, it tells of Paul, and he goes into the city of Ephesus. And it says that when they went into the city, he gathered a group of 12. And those 12, within 2 years, there was not one in that region of Asia who had not heard the gospel. They turned a region upside down with a group of people about a quarter of the size of this room. I heard Graham Cook share something that was so powerful, talking about God raising up a kingdom army that would bring a great awakening and a revival. And one thing he said is this, is would you rather be with a group of 1,000 that can't take any down? Or would you rather be a group of 1 or 2 who can take 1,000 down? Would you rather run with, would you rather be in battle and war with a mass of people who can't really take any giants? Or would you rather be with a small group who can take 1,000? And right now, I feel like across the nation, God's raising up a kingdom army that want to begin to see the things that are holding people back from their destinies in our cities, that we would begin to see those things taken down and that we would come together and be united. And I'm so encouraged by Acts 19 because it didn't take a mega church to transform a region. It took a small group of people who were devoted to see revival and awakening in that region, and they saw it happen. This book right here is really, I don't know where I got it to this day. I don't know how it got in my possession. No one gave it to me. It was in my house. And I think someone left it at my house after a Bible study or something. If you left it at my house, thank you. This book changed my life. This book changed my life. Everything we're doing today was birthed out of this book. I read this book in like 2 days. Like I was consumed. When I started reading this book, my heart within me just started burning inside for what it was talking about. This book is called The World Aflame by Rick Joyner. And I read this as we were starting Take the City. Before we were even doing it, I was starting the ministry. And as I was reading this, my heart was set ablaze. And I want you to understand what was a part of birthing this ministry, because knowing and understanding what was a part of birthing it helps you understand where we're headed. Read this book. Buy this book. Find it online. I'll buy some and give it to people if you want. But this book right here is powerful. And I want to read you guys just a little some of the blips about what was happening in the Welsh revival and what it talks about. When I say cultivate a place of revival and awakening, this is what I believe God is calling us to cry out for. This is a biographical account about the Welsh revival in 1904. The main focus of prayer in this revival was always for the lost. There can be no revival without soul winning. And in saving lost souls, the Welsh revival must be considered one of the most intense and effective revivals of all time. This revival was not a program for using a few preachers or a campaign to get local churches members testifying to the grace of the Lord Jesus. There were no classes given on how to reach the lost. It seemed like every Christian in Wales erupted simultaneously with a burning agony for the lost. The joy of salvation simply could not be contained by the believers, as every coal mine, tram car, office, school, or shop became a pulpit for the gospel. Even more than the preaching, it was the witness of the common believers which led to the multiplied thousands to a saving faith in Jesus. There's been a prophetic word over the last 20 years that God is going to release a billion soul harvest on the earth. I believe that. I believe that God wants to release a billion soul harvest, that a billion people would come into the knowledge of Jesus. But here's what I also believe, and I believe this firmly with my heart, that God does want a billion souls. But I believe it's not going to look like Billy Graham and the Great Crusades. I believe it's going to look like this. It's going to be the Church of Jesus Christ cultivating a place of revival and awakening, being revived, being awakened. Awakened to what? The agonizing heart of God for the lost. Receiving a burden that people would hear the name of Jesus and that they would know him personally. And that one by one, there would be a harvest. You guys know today, right now, if the body of Christ said, tomorrow, all of us are going to reach one person for Jesus and lead them to Christ, there would be a billion soul harvest in 24 hours. We're waiting for the Crusades, we're waiting for the big meetings, we're waiting for the Brownsville, the whatever, Azusa, whatever. I believe that God did that in the past, and we need to stop looking backwards, anticipating that's what he wants to do again. When I believe that right now God is raising up an army, I believe that Take the City and other ministries that have been sparked in the last 4 to 6 years, that God's raising up an army of movements that are really carrying this banner of one-on-one personal evangelism, that the church needs to wake up and begin to know the people around them and win the lost and see people come into the kingdom, because that's how a 24-hour billion soul harvest happens. It's when the church cultivates a place of revival, is awakened, and begins to see many, many, many souls saved. I'm going to keep reading. the presence of the Lord was so intense in Wales that those who traveled from the ends of the earth to witness it said that just being in one of the revival meetings was worth the whole journey, even if Evan, Dan, or Sidney Roberts was not there. Those were the leaders of the revival. Methodists claimed that it was a revival of the Wesley meetings of a century before. The people of Wales lost a lot of sheep because they were afraid that if they left the services, they would miss something wonderful. The meetings carried on till 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning many times and did not end until the people, sometimes including the entire population of a whole city or town, had marched to the streets singing the praises of the Lamb. It was simply impossible for an unbeliever to escape this overpowering witness or not to be drawn into it by sheer love and zeal of the people. Just as it is easy to identify a man or a woman who is in love as their lover dominates their minds in conversation, Wells fell in love with Jesus so much that adoration for him, and they lifted his name above anything else that could have captured people's attention. The knowledge of the Lord simply washed over Wells, just as the waters cover the sea. As Jesus was lifted up, all men came. They were about winning the lost. From Aberdare, Evan Roberts traveled to over 24 cities and towns throughout Wales, and every place the dry wood had been prepared, he simply cast the spark that would set it ablaze. The awe of the Lord was upon everyone, and his presence was felt everywhere. Spontaneous prayer meetings began in the mines, factories, schools, and shops. Even the amusement parks were filled with a holy awe as brigades of evangelists swept through them. Men who entered taverns to order drinks left them untouched as conviction and the fear of God came upon them. Wave after wave of the Holy Spirit was passing over the land. The degree to which this move was affecting society could be seen in the way that it impacted the favorite Welsh sport, soccer or football. At the time the revival broke out, the whole nation was nearly in a frenzy over the sport. Working class men seemed to think and talk about this one obsession. Gambling on games was rampant. Then the star football players were converted. They joined the open-air street meetings to testify of the glorious things that the Lord had done for them. Soon the players were so captivated with the Lord, they lost interest in the games, the teams disbanded, and the stadiums were empty. This miracle could only be compared to turning on your television set one afternoon on a Sunday to watch a National Football League game, only to hear the announcer trying to explain that none of the players had shown up because they were out evangelizing the city, and none of the fans had shown up because they were there too. Isn't that awesome? We want to cultivate a place of revival. We want to press in. We want to see this. We want to see this. One of the last things that they talk about is how unity was a major thing. A part of this. It says, when the Lord looks down upon the earth, he sees only one church. The many divisions perpetrated upon the church were devised in hell, not heaven. They will be overthrown before he comes. We must have unity if we are going to be prepared for the great harvest that will mark the end of this age. The nets simply will not be able to hold the catch if we don't join together. Before I read this book, the Lord spoke to me. The Lord actually spoke to me at the end of one of the Gospels. It says that Jesus went back to Peter and he said, "Throw it on the other side." And he pulled out all those fish, and it said like 148 fish or something, but it said the specific number of fish. And one day I was reading that before I read this book, and the Lord spoke the exact same thing to me. He said that. As I was reading about the nets, he said that the reason that the net could hold 148 fish was because one, it was only that big, and also there were no holes in it. But as you're fishing or as you're seeing a great harvest, if there are holes and gaps, if there's like dismemberment where the members of the body of Christ are estranged from each other, if we're not working together, it's like gaping holes in the net. And so God, he does want to pour out a spirit. He does want a billion soul harvest. He does want many people to be swept in the kingdom of God. He wants a revival that far exceeds what I just read in this book. He wants a greater thing to happen in our generation. But I also believe that as we experience the glory and the power and the presence of God, he's going to unite our hearts so that when there's a great harvest, we're united together, because then that way we can be united together and catch that. Because how many guys know people come in and they may not belong here, or maybe for just a season, but they need to be able to go somewhere else or go here or go there. How many guys know that's actually okay? I mean, that's not something I encourage, but that's actually okay that people are here for a season and then they're the next. I believe that God wants to be united so that we can begin to see the great harvest. Does that make sense? Last thing. We exist to raise up leaders who bring revival and transformation to our neighborhoods, to our cities, and the nations of the earth. At the door, I think this is really where we're headed. We want to, one of the big things that I feel like is the mandate here is to create a place where we raise up leaders. And not leaders for the sake of you're going to lead this team at the door and you're going to be a great welcome leader, which is great. We're going to do that too, hopefully. In fact, if you want to volunteer, that'd be awesome. But talk to Brian. But it's bigger than that. We really do want to raise up, we want to raise up leaders who have a vision to bring transformation and revival into neighborhoods, cities, and the nations of the earth. And I've shared this before, and I'm going to share it again, and we're going to keep talking about this. But in there was a movement called the Moravian Movement in the 1700s, and that movement was sparked in the midst of persecution, and Christians gathered together in Germany in a place that was called Herrnhut, and it was donated to them by a guy who owned a bunch of land, and they all came together. And when they gathered together, they were sort of not all together. They all had different cliques. And there was a revival that broke out because, first of all, there was a leader that came forward and said, you know what, we got to work together. And he got them to start to really band together and not only just get together, but they started praying. And they started a prayer meeting that went for 100 years, day and night, nonstop. They had a person or two on the watch all the time for over 100 years. And a part of that movement was what was birthed as now we know as the modern day missions movement, what we understand as missionaries going to the nations. The way that we perceive missionaries today was really re-sparked through them. And one of the incredible facts about them is the astonishing percentage of people that were involved with the movement and what God did through them that left them and went to the nations of the earth. That left and went away. They're infamous, not for how big they could assimilate people to themselves, which is glorious. It looks awesome. But they were infamous, ultimately, in my opinion, for how many people they sent away from themselves. In fact, a few of the people that they sent away from themselves were the very people who led John Wesley to Christ, which the people who were a part of that revival 100 years before this revival said it was just like this. So the Moravians, in turn, were a part of sparking revival in America, which many of the Methodist churches around the whole nation, including the Assemblies of God and the entire charismatic movement, came out of that whole movement. It traces back to them. Why am I talking about them again? Because I believe that here we have a vision within the door to cultivate a community of leaders that aren't just going to stay here, but that are going to go. And I believe that success, and me and Brian have talked about this a lot, success starts with, we want to see a lot of you guys going and saying yes to the call and just going on short-term mission trips. And that's something that Brian is really, really passionate about. And in fact, a group of you guys went earlier this year. We're taking a group to the Czech Republic in August. So if you'd like to go on that trip, you can come. But even bigger than mission trips, like, we really believe that God wants to raise up people from here that are going to begin to partner with Take the City and join these teams that are go to the cities of the earth and start ministries that are going to really press in and want to see revival and awakening in other cities. Does that make sense? We want to see leaders raised up, and we want you guys to be a part of it. And we want you guys to have clear understanding and expectations of, like, what you can anticipate, you know, here at the door. And I think one of the things that we wanted to do tonight is just create clarity so that way you know what you're a part of, where you're headed if you're a part of it, and why you want to be a part of it. And so even tonight, like as I've shared, some of you guys, you know, you've been kind of a part of the door, but even as I've been sharing, you've just felt like a burning, like a burden on your heart, like, man, I want to see this. I want to be a part of this at a greater capacity. And what I want to do is just invite you to just do that. Just whatever it looks like. Don't, you know, you can't join the door. We're not a church. You can't join our membership team. But you can be committed in your heart where you just say, you know what, like I want to be a part of something that wants to go to these cities. Maybe one day I'll be a part of a team that'll go, or maybe I'll go on missions, or maybe it has nothing to do with take the city expansion. But hey, one day I want to be a missionary. And so I want to be a part of the door so that way I can be equipped. Or maybe it's none of those and it's just, hey, I want to be a missionary here. I don't feel like I'm supposed to go anywhere. I actually feel like I'm supposed to stay here. But I want to discover and learn how I can make a bigger difference here in this community. Then I want to invite you to be a big part of the door, because that's what we want to do. We want to raise up leaders that are transforming neighborhoods, that are transforming cities and nations. One of the things I need you guys to pray about, even here at the door, is will you guys be willing to move outside of your comfort zone and into inner city neighborhoods around this community where we're going to start fixing up homes? I got a phone call earlier this week, and I think in a matter of months, we could have 10 more homes. Like all at once. And I think we could have 30. Like it's not even limited. It's crazy what God's doing right now. And there's so many stories I could tell you about how God's releasing his favor, his blessing, this hand of this ministry. Because I believe he wants what the vision is. He wants it done even more than we do. And he wants to do it even in spite of us. Because I'm not a perfect leader. And I don't do everything right. But what's incredible is he's doing things in spite of us. And one of the things I want to invite you guys to do is to even ask yourself, like, would you be willing to move into a neighborhood that isn't on the north side of town with a fancy sign at the front and a nice pool? Like, would you? And everyone in here isn't called to do that, okay? Everyone isn't called to do that. But we really are very seriously, we're very serious about seeing our city transformed. And we believe that by planting people in, even here locally, that sending them on mission here locally to move in and make a difference, that we're going to see our city changed. So even be praying about that, okay? I hope you guys feel stirred. I feel excited. I'm just filled with excitement, because I believe that the Lord's going to do everything that I shared tonight. I believe God's has even bigger dreams for the door. Like even the things that I said about raising up leaders. Like I believe there's even bigger potential for what God really dreams of doing here. I was talking to somebody last night, and they were saying that they work in the Middle East, and they're launching leaders into the Middle East to preach the gospel to unreached people groups. And one of the things, like if you go to any of those people and you say, where's the best college to recruit people to move to the Middle East? All of them know of this one place where basically they come through this ministry, and when they pump them out and they show up, they're like incredibly equipped to minister in like zero zones where there's no one's heard the gospel. And as I was hearing that last night, I just began to have a burning inside, like, wow, Lord, could you do it here at the door? Could you cultivate a community, not just a church, but a community where people come from different churches and they begin to be cultivated and raised up as leaders, and where when mission organizations around the world need people to show up, they want some people from the door because they're so well equipped and they're prepared, you know, to go to the nations.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed this week's message. For more information about The Door and Take the City, please visit us at www.takethecity.com. Have a blessed week.